here? So so I think a lot of times we don't want to read Revelation because we're afraid of what it says. And also, if you read, I think sometimes we try to take Revelation, but we have to also read Matthew and also Daniel and Ezekiel to really stand in Revelation. Do you know a third of the Bible is about prophecy? And and also God is trying to prepare his children for what is yet to come. God is not a God. Our Father is not a God that just puts us out in the wilderness and say, hope for the best. But he leads us and guides us through whatever we're facing. And so Revelation, he's showing us what it has to happen. He's preparing his church for what has to happen. So blessed is the one who reads. So if we read Revelation, we are blessed. Those who hear the words of this prophecy. So we have to be hearers of what the prophecy is saying. And keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So I think we'll go to Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, so the revelation is from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to whom who loved us and washed us from all our sins, from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. And he has made us kings and priests. I like that, and has made us, past tense. When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become kings and priests, little kings and little priests. To his God and Father, to him be glory and domain forever and ever. We are in his, as was even said too, we are his ambassadors. We are his witnesses. And he has a call and a purpose for us. So I know our memory could be short. I know 2 weeks ago I talked about what is the Lord's will for his children. What is God's will for his children? It would be in Mark 12. Yeah, love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Right? That's the will for the Father, is for us to love him and to adore him. Why do we adore him? Because he's redeemed us and he's taken all our sin away. How many have sinned? I think all of us have sinned. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we say that we have never sinned, that we make God out to be a liar. And we all have sinned. And there's nothing that we can do to earn salvation. But salvation is a free gift. And that's why Jesus died for us. To redeem the lost. We all were lost. And the second commandment is love the neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself. So that means that we do not be proudful, boastful, but we come alongside and encourage people to lift them up. We humble ourselves. We put ourselves second when we lift up our wives or our kids, and right, we come alongside them. In Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is the thing. He says, go therefore and make disciples. So that's another thing that God wants us to do. He actually commands us to go and make disciples. It's a commandment. It's not if you feel like it. Not if I feel like doing it today, but we're commanded to do it. It's not like I don't want to. I don't feel like I'm good enough. Those are just excuses. God has enabled us to be disciple other people. He has given us wisdom because we are seeking after him. He speaks to us. We are called to be mentors to others. Teach them, abide in Jesus, right? That's what a mentor is. We teach them the word of God. We teach our kids how to live, how to pray, how to hear God's voice. That's what mentorship is. Come alongside somebody to encourage them. He doesn't want us to just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. 2 Timothy 3:14. So 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But you must continue in these things. But you must continue in these things which you have learned." What have we learned? The Word of God. What we learn in the Word of God, we have now become responsible for what we have learned. We can't just say, "Well, I didn't know about that. I can't pass the buck." But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I think that's, we see in the church how doctrine is being undermined. It's very sad how satanic doctrine is getting into the church. You look at how doctrine is saying that you deserve the best life now. You owe this. You deserve this. Do you know that's satanic? There's a lot of mainstream Christian leaders who have, Rick Warner's one, The Better Now. There's so many other ones, I'm not, because so many people that are mainstream that teach satanic doctrine say, you better, it's your best life now. If this is your best life now, oh my goodness, that's scary. We do not deserve, but he gives us life and liberty. Jesus does. And when we hold to his doctrine, when we hold to his word, when we abide in him and trust in him, then we're able to withstand the schemes of the enemy. Then we can have a life that is prosperous. A life that is, when I talk about prosperous, I'm not talking about all this money flowing out, rich cars and all this. Prosperous, in the Bible, it talks about being prosperous is overflowing in relationship with Jesus. Spiritual prosperity, knowing him deeper, that's prosperity. When we know him and love him, when you think about Enoch, how many years did Enoch walk with God? 300 years. Could you imagine walking with God 300 years on earth? Here's a man who walked after him. He followed God. He didn't say, "God, come and follow me." Right? Because there's other doctrine that teaches that in the church, which is false doctrine. Jesus is not our puppet. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. We follow him. Not the other way around. So Enoch followed God. He walked with God day in and day out for 300 years. And God took him home. He didn't even die. Isn't that crazy? Can you imagine the conversation he had with God? Talk about intimacy. And this is what God wants from us. Intimacy. He wants to affect our hearts in a way that our love and adoration be for him and him only. To have a love for him. So, doctrine is number one. He wants to make sure we have proper doctrine. To have proper doctrine is we need to read the Word of God in the context that it is written. Not to add in, because people add in things and take away things. Doctrine is for reproof and correction. We get corrected. And there's reproof. If we're going off the rails, if I loved you, I would correct you. And likewise for me. We're here to give each other accountability. Not to be run away on strange doctrines, as the world is doing now. For instruction in righteousness. So scripture is given so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped, so we'll be fully equipped for every good work that God has given us. You know, it's a high calling in the race that the Lord has placed us in. At times we feel overwhelmed and perhaps not knowing really how or where to start. Where's a good place to start? On our knees. If I don't know where to start, I need to be on my knees and praying to the Lord and asking the Lord Jesus, Lord, help me. Help me to know where you want me to start. He will direct you in the Word of God. Even if you read one scripture a day, Lord, speak to me. How does this apply to my life? You know, God has placed us in community to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves. Do not forsake that. And here's the church needs to be opened to not to forsake people. Because there's people that are hurting outside the church. The church is supposed to be a place of refuge. A place where we could come and encourage one another. A place that we could pray for those people who are hurting, who feel hopeless. They have questions. It's amazing how the church has been so quiet. And how the church should be the loudest voice right now. Right? Because we have a Savior. We have a Savior who gives us eternal hope, who gives us strength to face whatever we face every day. He gives us purpose. Right? He gives us purpose. He gives us how to live. He gives us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, that we're never alone. Because before Christ, I was alone. We're all alone without Christ. But he gives us a comforter. He comes and lives within you to help you, to encourage you, to no matter what you live through. As I want to talk about some Bible prophecy today. Do you know 2 weeks ago Pope Francis went to Iraq to meet with a Shiite clergy, imam, who is very influential, like very high up in the Shiite community. He went there 2 weeks ago. He was met with open arms. Right? He also went to Ur. So what is Ur? Well, it's a place where Abraham was born. And why is that important? He's trying to bridge Islam and he's trying to bridge Islam, Christianity, and Judeo. No, he's just trying to bridge, because because Judaism, he's trying to bridge all three together. And how to do that is have one commonality of Abraham. Because from Abraham, we come out of Judaism, and Christianity is born out of that. And from Abraham, Ishmael was born, which is the father of Islam, because there's 12 tribes from both. So we look at what's happening. So he's trying to bring people together to have, saying, look what's happening. We all come from one father, Father Abraham. But we have a different God than from Islam, because the God of Jews and Christians is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Islam is Abraham and Isaac, a different God. So, Ishmael. So they have a different God. But he's trying to make, what I'm saying is, he's trying to bring one world religion together. This is the point. That happened 2 weeks ago. He's trying to bring and bridge people together. We see in Revelation 13:8. In Revelation 13:8, it says, all inhabitants of the world will worship the beast. And this implies one world religion. We are starting to see how the Pope and the Pope before have been grooming and get people to come together under one interfaith religion. Even Rick Warner and all these other people, charismatic Christians, are actually falling into this, denying who Jesus Christ is. This is why we need to be careful who we listen to and what doctrine we listen to. We need to make sure it lines up to the Word of God. And this is why what I talked about, doctrine, is key. Because the doctrine that the Pope is trying to do, it goes against the Word of God. He is a puppet for the Antichrist. When we unify people, they're unified under the umbrella of love. Does that make sense? We hear this in the Christian, in our church. In our churches, people say, God is a God of love. But they forget that he's also a holy and righteous God. He's a jealous God. He's not just a God of love. He's that. But he's also a holy and righteous God, that he is the one who says he is. He never contradicts himself. Because in the one world government, one world religion, they proclaim that there's many ways to heaven. There's many ways to get saved. But there's not. In Galatians 1:8-9 says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you other than what you have received, let them be accursed. There's a curse upon these people because they're teaching the wrong doctrine. They're leading people astray. They're actually leading them into hell. They're leading them away from God. This is why doctrine, it's a blessing when you are in a church, a body of believers that preaches the doctrine of God in the fullness, from Genesis to Revelation. Not about hearsays or about saying that you deserve the best. You need the good life now. It's all about you. That's satanic. That is leading you away and making you a god. We're not gods. We're little children of God. We follow Jesus. He gives us the best life. So that's in Galatians 1, 8 to 9. Romans 6, 16, 17 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions or offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Very clear. 16, 17. We're supposed to avoid these people. I feel like listing off a thing, and I know I might get kicked back. You look at Joel Osteen. You look at Kenneth Copeland. You look at, there's a whole list of people that are very ungodly. But you know what? The church goes, look how big their churches are. They must be doing the right thing. How many disciples did Jesus have? 12. And look how he affected the world. It's not about size of a church. It is about spiritual growth is number one. To know who your Lord and Savior is, to know him intimately and personally, to grow with him, that is ultimately the best. When you have that, a strong, healthy, vibrant body that is solid in the Word of God in doctrine. Because when we're solid in doctrine, when we hear a lie, we can spot that lie. That's the purpose of knowing the Word of God, is to spot the word of lies. And Satan is the liar. He's a deceiver. He desires us not to trust God, and he tries to deceive us like how he did with Eve. Did God really say that? Did God really say, do not eat from that tree? Did God say that you really would die? See how satanic stuff has gotten into the church? Man, I could list off more people that I've heard that is terrible. And people are gobbling up because they love what they're teaching. Because the only thing they want is make themselves feel good. It's a feel-good gospel, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is being promoted is universalism. That everyone gets in no matter what you believe. That Jesus is not the only way for salvation. Do you know in Proverbs 16:25 says, "Therefore is a way that seems right to man, but it ends up in death." When we come to Christ, it brings us life. He brings us life. So there is a way that seems right to man, but it ends is the way of death. So Jesus is the only way. So Acts 4:12, right? Jesus says, "I am the truth, the life, and the way. Nobody go to the Father except through me." John 3:36. John 14:6. Colossians 1:12 to 14. Hebrews 5:9. There's more scriptures that says that Jesus is the only way. And the Pope is saying that there's many ways. We accept everything. They accept everyone. Catholics, as the name Catholic means universalism. So Acts 4:12, John 3:36, John 14:6, Colossians 1:12-14. In Hebrews 5:9. Okay. So that's excitement. To see how Bible prophecy is actually coming to light. How the one world religion is coming to be. So another Bible prophecy has been fulfilled. So within the last 3-4 weeks, the Saudis. Do you know who the Saudis are? Saudi Arabia, have come out and said that Temple Mount is no longer important to them. Do you know why that's so important? They're saying that the holy site, the Dome of the Rock, is no longer considered a holy site anymore. They don't see it as their holy site anymore. And they also, Saudis have actually said the Temple Mount is actually belonged to the Jewish people. They have said that within the last few weeks. So the question is, what happens to the Dome or the Rock? Does it get destroyed in Ezekiel 38-39 war? That's a good question. Because the Dome of the Rock has to be removed before the third temple is built. So if the third temple is going to be built, the Dome of the Rock has to be destroyed. So the question is it destroyed in Ezekiel 38-39 war? Or do the Muslims tear it down and allow the Jewish people to build it? The third temple. I don't know. So why is this exciting? The third temple will be built and is built when the Antichrist is revealed and he brings false peace to Israel. Why is this exciting?
The king is coming.
This is so exciting. And this is why I say this to all of us. We should not be gloomy. We should not have our bottom lip on the ground. We should be praising the Lord Jesus Christ, because next Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna, we're going to praise him because of Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of the Highest. Which king do you worship? Which king do you worship? You look at what's happening. The Antichrist has to come. We know that. And I believe in pre-trib, so I know a lot of us do and some of us don't. But when pre-trib means that the church is not here. Because after Revelation 4, the church is not mentioned again until the return following the Lord Jesus. He comes in and we come behind him on horses dressed in white. So the church, that means that the church is gone when the Antichrist is revealed. Do you know Psalm 83:4 has been fulfilled? That was another Bible prophecy. It's been fulfilled for the last couple years. So Psalm 83:4 says, "Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel will be remembered no more." When did Israel become a nation? May 14th, 1948. That fulfilled Ezekiel 36. God has a plan, and it's all here. If we open the Word of God, we will see the hope and the promises that are here for us. And nothing should be surprising us of what is happening. This is why he gives us this, so we are excited, that we do not lose hope, that we keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. I shared a couple weeks ago about in 2 Kings, how Elijah, trying to keep Elisha away, he says, "No, you stay here, you stay here." And Elisha's like, "No, I want to keep going with you. I want to keep pressing in," right? He asked him three times. Elisha every time says, "Yes, Lord, yes, Elijah, I'm going to follow you." And Elijah said, "If you follow me and keep your eyes on you, you will get my mantle." He will get a blessing. There's a blessing when we follow the Lord, keeping our eyes fixed on him as we press in. Don't lose hope. Don't get frustrated and upset what's happening in this world, but be excited for what is happening in this world, because it has to happen. It has to happen. It got to happen. In order for it to happen, it has to bring the Antichrist in. Bible prophecy is what has to happen. God is allowing it to happen because he needs to pass judgment on the world. In that judgment, he still gives people time to repent and confess of their ways, still to come to him. He never closes the door on them. Even to the very end, he's saying, repent, repent, get right with me. He's a loving God. He does not want anybody to perish. Do you know, look at in Revelation, how the 144,000 or 12,000 from each tribe of Israel that go out and preach the gospel, there is going to be a huge salvation. There's going to be like a revival, but the church is not there. After Revelation 4, the language changes and it's talking about the Jewish people. The church is no longer there. So Ezekiel 36 has been fulfilled. Psalm 83 has been fulfilled because Iran continually says, we must destroy Israel. They say that day in and day out. Their purpose is to destroy Israel. So Psalm 83 is fulfilled because Israel has to be a nation. Israel has to be a nation, and they're a nation now. So who's the nations that come against Israel? Well, there's Gog, who is the ruler of Magog. So Gog is the ruler of Magog. And who is Magog? Russia. Russia's Magog. Turkey's Gomer. This is in Daniel 9. If you want to read Daniel 9, read Daniel 9. Because it coincides with Ezekiel 38 and 39. Persia is Iran. Libya is part of it. Sudan is Ethiopia. For many years, and also just recently, I believe it's in Sudan, they're allowing the Russian military and the Chinese military to build a naval base there. They're getting ready for a war. Saudi Arabia. Syria. You know, in Syria, Iran's been in there. Russia's in there. Libya's been in there. Sudan's already there. There's all those nations that are already in Syria right now for the last 2.5 years. Israel just bombed bunch of stuff from Iran and bring four big jets in with all this ammunition. They blew it up the other day. There's tension there. Isaiah 17, where Damascus is another prophecy that has to be destroyed. Damascus has to be destroyed. And does that ignite Ezekiel 38 war? So Isaiah 17 talks about Damascus has to be destroyed. So does that happen when sparks a 38-39 war? Do you know that many years, the Levites, and who are the Levites? The Levites are the priests, right? Those are the ones that did the sacrifices in the old temples. So they're preparing for the last numerous years, preparing how to sacrifice animals. How they had to have all the stuff ready for sacrifice. The only thing they were missing is the temple. This is why I'm so excited what's happening. Because the Saudi is saying that the Temple Mount is no longer a holy site for Islam. That is preparing them to be excited to build the third temple. And they could build the third temple in 1 year. They have the know-how how to build it within 1 year. So, if this is happening now, praise God that we're watching this and this is unfolding. This is a time to keep your eye on what's happening in Israel. Israel is the time clock. Everything revolves around Israel. COVID and all this other stuff is a distraction from us to keep our eyes on what's happening in Israel. Daniel 9:27 speaks of the Antichrist, how he comes in and brings in this peace, and after 3.5 years, he sets himself up of his God and defiles the temple. And that's where the Jewish people say, no, you're not God. And they revolt. Isn't that exciting? To see what's happening now in front of our own eyes? I see how the Lord is. Do you know that we're, if you want to look at what Revelation 3 talks about, the church of Laodicea, I believe we're in that era of church era, where the church has become so apathetic to the gospel, lack of enthusiasm about the word of God, or concern about the truth of the gospel. I see that. But I praise God that he's raising up a body of believers that who are in love with God and desire to grow deeper with him. Only God could do that. I see a church, how God is shifting the chaff off of the wheat. It's amazing how he's taken the shaft off, all the uselessness. There's a lot of churches that are not really churches. They might have the name, but they don't praise God. They are satisfied with themselves. God is waking up his bride, his true bride. He's awakening the bride to be alive, to be praising him, to run with him, to walk with him, to be in step with him, to be listening to what he is saying. You know, the Lord is stirring the body to have a love and a passion for him, to put off that sin that so easily entangles us. He doesn't want us to run with one leg tied. We sung today about he breaks every chain off of us. He sets us free from bondages. He sets us free from things that holds us back from worshiping him. He wants his church to be free in order that they could praise him and to worship him. We're in a race that we should not be afraid, because our hope is found in Jesus. I think how the government is so I see how the government is so trying to be like God. They try and control you. They try and control what you do and how you say and what you do. They try and control you by keeping you distance from people. They try and control you by putting fear in your heart. They could try and control you. What if you die? Do you know in the Bible it talks about God, our Father, knows the day and the hour that you die. He knows what day you will die. I can't think of the scripture. He knows that. So why are we afraid of dying? Why are we afraid of dying? Why are we afraid of dying of a disease? Why are we worried about... Because we know, if we know the Lord, where we get to go when we die. So why is the church afraid? Why is the church not rising up? Why is not the church swinging from the rafters saying that we have hope that we could give you? And that's only found in Jesus Christ. Do you know that in the time of this COVID thing, there has been more people that died from fentanyl alone in Alberta? I only did for the stats only in Alberta. Do you know there's more people that die from fentanyl alone than COVID altogether? in Alberta. I have a cousin that's under, he's a drug cop, and he said that. I would trust his stats more than the government. Do you know there's more people that died from suicides in the last year than the numbers were so high? There's been broken homes, marriages, abuses. For what? Trying to put this COVID thing to death? What outweighs it? You see how the government is conditioning us to have our hope in them, to trust them for financing, for protection. It's a conditioning. It's a conditioning. Because one world government has to come in. And to condition people, you have to make them start believing it. So who do we trust? Do we trust that the Lord Jesus has our back? And he's the one that protects us from all things? And if I die, so be it. But I need to live for the Lord and not to have fear of man. Do I trust the Lord for my finances? Do I trust the Lord for my hope? Do I trust the Lord for protection? And if I do get sick, do I trust the Lord to keep me healthy or to heal me? So where's our hope? In Revelation, it talks about how the one government. In Revelation 13:16, Revelation 13:16 says, "You know the vaccine." I was on a conference call with the premier a couple weeks ago, and I was able to ask a question. I have 800 pastors on the thing. There's different, and I asked a question. Ever since this thing has started, you've always been moving the goalposts. I said, when are the goalposts going to be able to be stopped? I said, you guys talk about variants and all these other things. I said, what does it has to happen in order for you guys to release all this stuff? He goes, at least 7% of the population need to be vaccinated in Alberta. Hinshaw and that said that. He said, everybody from 84 down to 50, 7% of the population needs to be vaccinated. So what does that do? They're priming people, getting ready people to trust them, to have hope in them, to be their savior. And a lot of churches are putting their hope in the government, where our hope needs to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 13:16 says, I always think about this. I think about this. Last week, Joe Biden said that whoever doesn't get the vaccine will have a different, they will be limited to what they can do, where they could go and what they can do. Joe Biden said that last week. If you don't get the vaccine, you're going to be limited where you could go and what you can do. In Israel, it's been about a month now. They have a green card. If you don't have the vaccine, you can't. If you have the vaccine, then you're able to go different places. But if you don't, you are limited where you could go. How is this prevalent today? It's priming the countries, the people of the world. Revelation 13:16 says, "For he has forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on his right hand or his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark." I'm not saying this vaccine is the mark, because it's not. But it's leading up to it. It's priming the world to be able to receive the mark of the beast. In order to get the mark of the beast, the Antichrist has to be here. This is priming people to get ready for a false savior. This is why it's so exciting. I see what's happening. And the liberals are so, they tell you what they're doing. This is what I'm going to be doing. And everybody's like, oh yeah, yay. And we don't believe them. We don't believe them. But the Bible is telling us exactly what they're doing and what they're up to. So what is being led up to is the return of the Lord. That we keep our eyes fixed on Him. That we keep pressing in to know the Lord Jesus, to have an intimate relationship with Him. Not to keep our eyes off of Him. And to put off the sin and the self-centeredness that we have and repent of and humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for not trusting You. Forgive me for trying to set myself up as a false god. But let You be the only God in my life. He wants the church to be alive. He wants the church to be ready, prepared to be loving Him with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul. He wants us to love our neighbors better than ourselves, present them better, help them, encourage them. He wants us to be about His business, and that's to make disciples, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to others. And when He comes, He says, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you're doing what I've asked you to do. And that's the will of God. Not to live for yourself, but to live for Him. To be, and He'll spark that fire in your lives. He'll make you love Him and desire Him. There was, I really went off track. We'll close with Revelation 12:1. It's Revelation 12:1. It says, and they overcame Him. So who's Him? Satan. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. That we don't love our lives to the death. We love the Lord. Revelation 12:1. 12:11. Thank you. 12:11. I stand corrected. 12:11 says, they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. So we're supposed to proclaim the word of the gospel. Once you start proclaiming the word of God, it just comes out of you. It actually makes you flowing of life because you're speaking life. That's an amazing thing. So, yeah, I'll stop there. Father, we thank You, Lord, how You give us prophecy. And I thank You, Lord, for how You don't want us to be scared. But, Lord, thank You that You're preparing us for what is yet to come. And, Lord, thank You that You have called us and You're directing us and You're leading us. Lord, that You are helping us to understand what is happening around us. Father God, thank You that we could be so excited knowing You tell us what's going to happen. Lord, thank You that You prepare Your children. Lord, thank You that You are helping us to understand. Help us, Lord, as we seek You and to know what Your word says. Help us to understand Your word. Lord, bring Rhema to it. Illuminate it to us, Father. Let us help us to understand what is being said. Lord, I pray that we'd be on our knees seeking You in this time. And Lord, I pray that we would not be fearful of man, but Lord, that we have a holy reverence for You. Lord, that we would be fearful of You because of who You are, because You're a holy and righteous, holy God. Lord, let us not be fearful of man, because what can man do? Nothing. Lord, thank You that You have placed us and our names are written in the book of heaven, in the book of life. So Lord, help us to share the truth of the gospel. Help us to share the truth of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're the only truth in the life, in the way. Thank you that you're the only way for salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you bring redemption to the lost. And thank you, Lord, that you redeemed us. And thank you that you always intercede on our behalf to the Father every day. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that keeps us. Lord, help us to be mindful of you every day. Thank you, Lord, that you're always with us throughout the day. Lord, I pray that as we wake up, we will say, Lord, how do you want me to go, or how do you want me to live today? Lord, let us change our mindset. Lord, what do you want from us today? Lord, help us to have this mindset of serving you and have your interests on our hearts, on our minds. Not what we need to do, but Lord, what do you want to use us for today? Change our attitudes and our perspectives. In Jesus' name.